good evening. This is the I Am Well show, and I am your host, Annemieke van Eijkeren from the Netherlands. Moderator for tonight is Rhonda Harrison, and you can find her at hummingbirdhealingoils.com. And my guest for tonight is the wonderful and always interesting Agnost. Tonight, we will have a quite interesting show. We are going to talk about time travel and how we can change the past. So it's very interesting. We are not going to have a call-in option for tonight. I'm so sorry, but if you have any remarks later on, we can handle them the next time Aga is on. Send your emails to innersightmedium@gmail.com or find us on Facebook. My host website is crystallinetherapies.com, CrystalLine therapies.com. And you can have contact with me on a contact form there. So back to Aga. Aga, welcome to the show. It's very interesting having you again, and especially about a topic like this.
Yeah, hello there. I enjoy being back on again. This is going to be fun.
Yes, this is certainly going to be very interesting. You gave me so many topics in the beginning that we will have to do multiple shows to actually handle all of them. So a lot of information has already passed over the past few shows. Now, time travel. I think everybody is fascinated by time travel. It's something that we know from the movies. Already from a very old movie about time travel with the time machine. Oh my God, it was so... At the time that the movie came out, everybody was like, oh my God, you can travel in time. So how did you get fascinated with time travel?
Well, it is it's kind of a long story, but I think... Have you heard the saying that truth is stranger than fiction? Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Oh yeah, and it is.
Tonight... I just might be able to prove to you that that is true.
Wonderful.
Because what I'm going to say tonight is going to be a little hard to swallow. But
really?
I'm going to back it up with scientific experiments that prove that these things actually do happen. So just sit on down and don't touch the dial, like they used to say. But I'm going to go into something here that started a long time ago for me when I, well, actually several decades. I heard of a guy that got run over by a car in the middle of the street in New York. Well, it wasn't just a regular guy. It was a guy that suddenly showed up in the middle of the street out of absolutely nowhere, and he had a conquistador armored uniform on, and he had a long lance. And he had leather clothing like the conquistadors out of the Spanish Peninsula had when they were conquering America 500 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, he just looked flabbergasted. He was just stood there, frozen, and then a car came and ran over him and killed him.
Wow.
Now, this happened in the late 1930s, 40s, somewhere in right about that time. And when they started going through his, belongings that he had with him, they found a letter from somebody over in Spain, and that was written to him, and there was a family letter, and they couldn't really figure out, when this, because the letter dated back almost 500 years.
Yeah.
Now, they started wondering, what the heck happened here. So they started going back through the records, and they found out that this guy actually existed in the Spanish army. And he disappeared from the army. They thought that he was a deserter. Well...
But he had been traveling in time and run over in the 1930s. That's why he disappeared.
Yeah. So it is kind of obvious to me that something goofy happened here. Where that is probably where he stepped into a time portal or some kind of flux line that carried him to New York, or he could have been in the New York area 500 years ago and snapped through a time portal. There are those things. There are goofy things that happen there. So this is something that really caught my interest when I read that story, and I started looking into it, and I got more and more fascinated by it. But you know, time travel, doggone it, you know, it's so hard to wrap our heads around that I want to say something about reality first, because that kind of gets you to tie time travel into it, because time travel is such an integral part of the illusion that we are living. Let me just give you something to think about. Let me first set the stage so you can easier understand the question, actually, I'm going to ask you at the end. Science has found that matter and energy cannot be created from nothing. Then again, we have some of the sharpest people on the planet, like Stephen Hawking out of Cambridge University in England, and most other theoretical physicists. They are saying now that their equations on the blackboard using quantum physics prove this whole universe was created from nothing. Now, yes. If this is true, and if the universe was created from nothing, and you are in this universe created from nothing, what are you? And I paused on purpose because I want you to think.
Yes.
See, that's where things, now if we think it in those terms, everything we have learned, what we have seen, what we have experienced, falls apart, including what we learned and experienced yesterday, as well as what we are experiencing today and what we will experience tomorrow, falls apart. Because what is there if we are nothing? Now it gets a little complicated, doesn't it? But
yes.
The thing is that we are told the time starts in the past, pass through the present, and limber on into the future somewhere, and we don't know where.
Mm-hmm.
And that may not be quite right, only within this illusion that we're living. Now, remember, now we're nothing, right? And, of course, when I'm saying nothing, that means nothing physical. There are something, because you can see it, when you're cutting up tomatoes for your lunch tomorrow and you cut yourself, boy, that stings, doesn't it? Yeah, there is something here, but it is not physical. Quantum physics proves there is nothing here physical. It is all a mind-created movie or an illusion that we are living. And that illusion involves the past, present, and future.
Yeah.
What we are finding through quantum mechanics, again, is that outside of the physical and the vibrations very close to the physical, which we call the astral world, there is no time outside of that. There is only the present now. Everything that we have experienced, what we are experiencing, and what we will experience, have been created, is created, and will be created in the future, is just sitting there in this soup of creation, ready for us to interact with it. All, in order to interact with it, all we have to do is to think of something in the future or the past and take that into this soup of creation with emotion and intention and strong thoughts with it, and look around for a match in vibration in that soup. And when we find a match, that's when we can pull that back into physical existence. Now, there is some, these are my words, but it's based on solid foundation in science. I'm going to mention three books to you. First one, of course, that is Spiritual Science, Higher Consciousness Thinking, and How to Access the Universal Consciousness. And that's my book. He proves it in there. And then we have another one. It's called The Field and the Intention Experiment by Lynn McTaggart. She proves the present, the past never existed. The future never existed. And there's another one, Entangled Minds by Dean Radin. And he is speaking of some experiments where he responds to a future event before it happens. And how in the world can that be if the time is only going in one direction. It doesn't reverse on you. That cannot happen. So both Einstein and Newton was wrong. And that one is hard to wrap our heads around. The effect of the future event cannot reach back into the past and alter it. That is what we've been told all along, or not even give a reaction to something in the past. That's what Newtonian science tells us. Now, this experiment is totally contrary to our thinking at the time, so it throws everything we have learned about time out the window. And what science says about time is that there is no evidence for a time even exist. What we are experiencing is an effect of something that they are calling time. And then another book is In Spontaneous Evolution by Bruce Lipton and Steve Behrman. They speak of a scientific experiment where subjects are hooked up to biometric sensors. And these are wires they strap onto their head, and they measure the electric output of the brain in brain waves, and they register the physical and emotional reactions to visual stimuli. And they showed a succession of pictures and slides, mostly pleasant pictures, green fields, and there were flowers and birds flying and people dancing and things like that, except for about 3% of the picture were gruesome photos, gruesome violence, sex abuse, beheadings. And when they ran the sequence of pictures, they found that about 5 seconds before the bad pictures flashed on the screen, the person sitting there with the wires on his head had a bad reaction to the pictures that had not shown up on the screen yet.
Oh, really?
How can that be?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That shouldn't have happened. Yeah, so, you see, quantum physics tells us that we are living in a mind-created universe. It looks so real, but it is a hologram. This hologram that we're living, it's been around for about 50 years. That's about when they started messing with the holograms, when they kind of invented them. But I guarantee you, 500 years from now, you're going to see people walking down the street. You're going to see people sitting in offices. They're going to be working and doing stuff and doing for you, having conversations with you, but they are not real people. They are going to be holograms. Now, compare that to a hologram that had 14 billion years to develop itself. As we're hearing that this physical existence has 14 billion years of development in it. Do you not think that that hologram should be a little more advanced, possibly advanced as what we see?
It should be, yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So then, let's ask this good question. Can we go back and change the past? We know there are evidence in these kinds of experiments that, yes, you can reverse time, and you can actually also go into the future.
Yes.
That we have proven that through experiments in a very small scale because they used electronic instruments. And when it comes to time outside of the physical existence, it's very hard to measure with physical instruments. Non-physical things it's going to be very difficult to register it with physical instruments. So there is a German scientist, his name is Helmut Schmidt. He did some scientific experiments also that show it should be possible to reverse time and go back and have a do-over of something that you really screwed up.
Yeah.
Anybody screw up anything? I got my hand up.
Oh, yes.
So,
I think everybody would be interested to go back and undo the screw-ups. Yes.
Yeah, I can see people on couches all over the world now listening to this, sticking their hand up. And that's the thing, see.
Well,
That
you
is
know,
what we
there are
do because.
things in there,
Yeah.
like screw ups that nations did that caused wars or something. Or if you knew ahead of time that a big cataclysm would happen and you could prevent a lot of the problems that were, you could save a lot of lives, you know, things like that. It could make
Yeah.
a huge difference in time if everybody would be made aware what Hitler was up to, or what Julius Caesar was up to, or God knows who in the past. It would change everything.
Absolutely, because people are the ones that screw up. Governments never screw up. Wars and stuff like that are well planned ahead. Those are economical events to make money for the bankers. So we don't worry
Yep.
about those. Those are planned. But
I
people
agree.
screw up. And what Helmut Schmidt found is that the mind of the observer is just as important, if not more important, than the experiment itself. The mind of the observer can go back and alter the physical effect of things that has not already happened yet. He used a random numbers generator in one of the experiments and hooked up to the right and the left side of a recording device. And part of these recordings, they viewed and they observed it, and some they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They found that many of the recordings that they did observe, that was about 50-50, which it should be, or 48-52, right about that. Then he did some recordings and gave the recordings to a volunteer and told him to think and intend for there to be many more clicks on one side than the other side. And the law of averages should say that doesn't matter whether you look at it or listen to it or don't listen to it. It should be 50-50 or close to it.
Mm-hmm.
But when they tallied up the ones that the volunteer had intended for it to have more clicks on one side, they found that there were many more clicks on that one side that he had intended for it to be. So that volunteer, he changed, he altered something that happened 2 hours earlier.
Changing
this gets
the
a
matter,
weird.
Mind of matter, yes, power of thought.
Absolutely. His mind changed the recording. Because what they also found in other experiments, that if nothing is observed, it doesn't happen. That don't necessarily observing it right now, that to mean that you are going to observe it in the future. You intend to observe it in the future. Then it happens. But if something that you did or something did beyond your control that no one ever will observe, quantum physics says it never happened. This one is hard to explain. This experiment boggles the mind because how could he change something that was that far 2 hours in the past? That's a tough one.
Yeah, we've been told for a long time that, and most people still believe, there's just a few people who see different, that time is linear, that first there is the past, and then there is now the present, and the future is whatever comes after. But also there's a lot of people saying, time, if there is any time at all, is circular, so everything happens at the same time. That's why you can do whatever you please if you know how to, if you know how to
yep.
influence it.
Yep.
I remember this little film clipping from the times when we had silent movies. And somewhere in that silent movie, and it wasn't original, right? It was not manipulated or whatever. Somewhere in that silent movie, a guy comes up with clothes that are from that time, but the shoes are definitely not from that time. They didn't have Nikes at the time. And he is talking into a cell phone. Now, they did not have cell phones in the 30s.
That's right. Yeah, I've seen that picture. At least I've seen one of those pictures, and it's so convincing. There's that the one I saw was a woman walking down the street from a picture. I think in the late 30s the picture was taken. It was a stage on a movie set. And she is having her hand right up on the ear, and she has something in her hand that she's talking to.
Yes, then there are several already. That's a woman, and the one that I saw is a man. So there are several occasions that time travelers, I want to call them time travelers, with their cell phones are being seen in silent movies of the 30s. And God knows from what time they were, because, you know, they can be anywhere from the future.
Yeah. And then, of course, we say, well, what good would a cell phone be, because they had no cell towers back then? Well, there we go again with the time flux.
There you go, yeah.
There is possible to maybe have that connection come back through the time flux if you had good enough intelligence and good enough science to do that.
Yeah.
It should be possible to do it if there is a connection, and there had to be a connection because you came through it. So that's not my expertise exactly right there, but I can see the possibility of that happening. Now
so,
let's take it one step further, going back, changing the past. We have the happenings in the yesterday and today and tomorrow. That establishes a timeline. And let's say that we plan to do something really wild tomorrow. We have all planned that out. That establishing a timeline through tomorrow that uses your decision tomorrow to establish the rest of that timeline, right? Now let's say that you get tomorrow morning and you decide not to do that. You're going to do something totally different. So you go and do something totally different instead. From then on, you're establishing a different timeline that goes in a different direction with different events in it into the future. Because you, because you thought you were going to do that wild thing tomorrow and then continue down the road, and you visualize things down the road that was relying on the thing you were going to do tomorrow, you already established a timeline in a mental level of existence. And that is already given a low form of life, a mental low form of life. And it's already there in the super creation. All you have to do is to go and do those things, and that timeline will happen. But you decided to do something else. So you went in a different direction, and you're creating a new timeline. Let's say that now we're going to go back the other way. Let's say that we screwed up something about 8 years ago that was so bad that you became the laughingstock of the world. And everything fell apart for you, and you know, you co-signed for a good friend, and he didn't make his mortgage payment, and they came and took your house, and you lost everything, and you know, all kinds of nasty stuff can happen.
Yeah.
Now you go back to about a week before that, and you go and make the decision in your mind that you are not going to do that. And you visualize that event when he calls you and asks you to co-sign for him. And you're visualizing going through the conversation, and at the end of the conversation, you tell him no. Now, you do that a few times so that you have a clear picture in your mind. It's best to do this in the evening, right before you go to sleep. Because for some reason, in the middle of the night, the mind has more influence or get a better connection to the universe. And you are at sleep. That means your hologram is at rest. And that's what you can do there. You can go back, visualize your different timeline going to effect. And I'm sorry, the other phone is ringing. So
I'll
quit. I go back, visualize it, and telling him no. Try to visualize it as much in detail as possible as you remember it happening at the time. And go do this a few times and keep doing it until someday you might wake up in the morning and, of course, you will never remember that you did this, that you did this reconstruction of the past. Because when you go and redo that telephone call and tell him no, you're starting a new timeline. You're not repairing the one that you are in, because you're starting a new one. And there is two schools of thought about what happened to the first timeline. One school of thought, which is coming out of quantum physics and by several people that is much more learned in these theories than I am, they say that as soon as you start that new timeline, the old timeline collapses. The unified field collapses around that timeline. Now, there's another school of thought that also comes out of other theories within quantum physics. They say that it can collapse, but probably not.
Mm.
They're not sure. And I kind of think that, well, I shouldn't even say, because I've had glimpses of things from another timeline. And that kind of leads me to think that there may be something there. So I kind of think that it just might be something there. And that's why I'm thinking that they may be both timelines may be going parallel to each other, and I am in both timelines. And maybe many timelines. It could be hundreds of them going into the future in different directions based on different decisions that I did in the past. Is this starting to make any sense at all?
And that you could be in all of them, basically, as all separate realities.
Yes.
Yeah, it is possible. I heard about that as well, that people, you know, experience this. And certainly when they go into a certain heightened state of awareness, that they can even go to those different realities and, you know, do things and change things and what not there. It's really quite strange. Now, what you said earlier is that if we have a mindset with a certain vibration and we find the match of that vibration, whatever it is that you're envisioning, we can pull it into our reality. Now, what if you have a certain idea of what you want, which has, of course, got a certain vibration because it's energy, but you haven't found it yet? How can you still pull it in your reality, or can you?
Yes, you can. And we do this every day of the week. We are creating every day of the week in minor ways and major ways without even thinking about it. Because what we are doing, let me just back up about 30 seconds. There's also experiments at UCLA that prove that our thoughts are not our own. What they did there in that one particular instrument is that strapped wires on the guy's head again, and they subjected him to some pictures and images, and they found that they had him make decisions. And they know where these decisions come from in the mind. So they had a picture of the electric activity in the brain, and they found that about 2 to 3 seconds before the thought popped up in his head, they saw activity in the brain, that they saw the thought being created and coming into existence. So there really isn't our own thought. The thoughts are coming from somewhere else, and we think it's our own thought. It comes from the quantum underneath the subconscious mind. So what we do, we are visualizing something in the future that we want. This goes right back to creation. If you want to create something good in your mind, don't go around and think about garbage and all the misery and happenings in your life.
Yes.
unless you are a garbage man, that makes your paycheck.
Yes, absolutely.
But think about something really positive that you want in the future. Visualize it in detail with emotion intention in colorful images and see other people involved in it and see them happily enjoying it. For some reason, the future creation is not created out of selfishness. It's got to be good for more than three people.
Mm-hmm.
So when you create something, put other people in that image so you can enjoy it together. It's called sharing.
Yes. I've heard that before.
Yeah, yeah. And you can do this by doing, going into the future, creating it in the future in detail and concept with emotion and intention and all that, and then start thinking about it. And then you go out and you do whatever you can to go down that timeline to bring you to that thing that you have created in the future. Go back and forth to this thing every day and start recreating it. Because what you're doing, you're laying down attractor strings through it, and that starts pulling you up this timeline. And you will end up walking into that creation. As long as you keep doing what you can to make it happen physically, you will walk right into it as it was in right now. And the two realities, the future and the present, will have joined into one reality.
Right.
This is what the immensely wealthy people do that all the time. They whatever they want to do, they create it in the future first. And then they keep going back and back and back every day and strengthening that timeline going through it while they're telling everybody else around them to do the same thing, and they work on the same image, the same picture. Those things and those people are unstoppable.
Sounds interesting. I mean, like that, you can create anything and everything that you want, big or small.
And this is something we can do. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Not just you, but I ask everybody else that's listening also. I don't want you to answer me that question. I want you to answer it to yourself. And this is going a little bit beyond time travel, but it's a good one. Here's the question. What would you start tomorrow morning if you knew you could not fail?
Right. Interesting question.
Much more than interesting. It is the particular question that will absolutely change your life if you take it serious and ask you that question. But don't answer it now. Spend at least 24 hours thinking about it, because it is way too important. Because I guarantee you, none of us know how to think big enough.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I've heard that question in another setting, like, if money were not an issue, what would you like to do, be, or create?
There you go.
Because people always make money an issue. Now, what if money would not be an issue? If you could do anything that you would like to do, if you could live anywhere you would like to be, or would like to travel, if you could do anything that you would like to do, what would be your favorite thing that you would like to do? What kind of a job would you like to have? Or would you like to have an empire? Or would you like to be just having something small? What is your preference? It's very personal what you want. You know, you can live on a little island and just fish every day and be happy with it. Or you can be anything. I mean, there is something special to anything, really. I think you should not decide in the spur of the moment, like, oh, let's be a movie star or something. You know, just think about everything that comes with it. And,
yeah.
And plan into detail what it should look like, feel what it looks like. And if you don't agree with how it feels, then change it, right?
There you go. You've been down this road before, so you understand this question. And that's good, because most people have never thought of these terms before. What if I could have absolutely anything I want? Money is no problem. And I go back to J. Paul Getty, the world's richest man in the 1950s. He said, there's no such thing as a money problem. There is only an idea problem.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Enough. And the man was very, very wealthy. But what I've done lately, and that sort of relates to this, is I have two travels coming up. One is next week. I'm going to be in Germany, and the other is end of July, and then the first 3 weeks of August, I'm going to be in Madrid. And I need someone, of course, to take care of my fur babies. You can't leave them alone. I mean, you can leave a cat for a week or so, but not a rabbit and not a dog. You need to be fed and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so I was looking at like, you know, it should be free and it should be very nice people. And preferably I want to have a choice. And, well, they're going to be very nice and they're going to be very friendly and, you know, probably want to live in my home for the duration. And that's, of course, possible because I do have spare room and all that. Yeah, I don't want them to bring kids or their own pets. You know, just one or two people that will be enough. So the first thing that comes up is a guy from Couchsurfing wanting to apply for a job in my country because he's living in the UK and he wants to come to the Netherlands to stay, to work, which is possible because, you know, the countries that are all part of the EU can all that allow that you come over and work without needing special papers or whatever. And so that happened, and I'm not really sure if he's going to stay all the way till the end of that week. If so, that's very nice, because then my pets will be taken care of. I needed to have a place to stay while I was there. Now, from the six nights, two are already taken care of. Then I have already bought my tickets to Madrid. The course, the workshop that I'm supposed to do there for the whole week, for 2 weeks, sorry, is already booked. The only thing I am needing is people to take care of my pets and a place to stay. Now, people to take care of my pets was an easy thing because I got four appliances for that. There was a couple and a few single people applying for the job, and they were all wonderful, all four of them. But I made a choice for the best one. That was the one that offered to clean my house top to bottom. How does it get any better than that?
Oh, man. Well, I rest my case. You have proven that this is true. It works.
Yes. Yes. The only thing I now need to pull into reality is a place to stay or several places. I don't mind if I have to change host every few days. Then I meet more people.
You'll have it.
More interesting.
Absolutely, you will have it.
Yep. Oh, I have so many things. The only thing I haven't managed to do yet is pull a certain person into my life. And that is probably because I have my mind set on one person. If I would just let it go, which I've done partially, because I was like, if I want to realize a holistic healing and wellness center, then I need to have that person with me. And all of a sudden I was like, what the hell, I can do it on my own. And all of a sudden things started to happen, people started to show up, options came in. That's how that workshop in Madrid came up, because that will license me to be an English teacher and work in Spain and make many corporate connections, because I'll be teaching corporate people. And you never know where that's going to end up, with people wanting to invest in such a center of sorts. And there's lots of people in my friend circle that already said they'd like to participate in something like that. So it is going to happen. I don't know when exactly.
Well,
but
there you go. There you go again. See, all you do is go forward into the future, try to visualize what you want, and then don't put any restrictions on the universe to create how it happens. You look at the end product only, not how you get there. You could care less how you get there. There could be a guy walking in the street, meeting him on the street and say, hey, it's a check, take it, do what you want with it.
Oh,
it could be anything from there.
Oh, yeah, I'm open to that. Oh, yes, by all means. Let me meet people who just donate just because they can. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Absolutely. But the future is actually very adjustable and creatable according to what our minds decide. And most people don't think of it that way, but we are planning ahead for things we want to do tomorrow. Okay, so we created it already on a mental level of existence, and then we go and do it tomorrow. It's a form of creation on a mental level of existence first. But let me get back to this time travel just a little. There is more that I kind of should mention, and that is that whatever is in our mind, that will create the future, because that is what we think about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I have an electronic device that I've been playing with. And I've had some very strange experiences with it. In fact, strange enough to for BBC Television to discover it, and they came over and did a BBC TV documentary with several theoretical physicists, Michio Kaku and Green and a couple of others, and myself. I demonstrated this electronics device, this time travel device, on the TV documentary. And this TV documentary was shown around the world to about a billion people, just about in every English-speaking country. So what I actually talked about on that particular show, most of that actually did not happen. And here's the reason why. I did not understand it at the time. But what I saw was what is in my mind, because that had already created my timeline. And what happened there is that I was doing TV shows. I was hosting and producing two TV shows in Tucson. I had a radio station. We were doing all kinds of government cover-ups and government scams and medical, well, you name it. We were covering all the garbage that happens in the world and called the government on and say, hey, here's where you're violating the law again, you know, change it. So that's where I, in my mind, was at the time. And that's the future I had created in my mind. And that was the timeline I was locked into. In that timeline, all these things happened that I talked about.
Yes.
And after I was no longer doing the TV show, then I made a totally different change. I created a new timeline, obviously, because it didn't happen. And that those things did not have it in it, because my mind changed. I started looking at more positive things. And if you want to see that TV documentary, you can go to, it's a very interesting one. You can see the device and the whole thing there. It's called Time Trip. Time Trip. It's on the BBC website where you go into documentaries. You'll find it in there somewhere. I haven't seen it there, but it's on, let's see, I think it's on YouTube too. I'm not sure, but it used to be there. So you'll find it. It's an interesting one about time travel. And it in fact, confirms a lot of the things that we've been talking about tonight. So whatever is in your mind, that is what you will have in the future. And that is why it is so important to think about positive things, create positive things in your future, because that is where your future is going, and that is a form of time travel. You're traveling with the time into the future. You're not necessarily going past and changing anything unless you go through what we talked about before, which is possible to do. It's just that when you change and start that new timeline in the past, you will never remember the first one. Unless you understand the principles which you're built on, you can see that there is a difference. You can feel the difference of something that doesn't feel right, feels different than what you thought it might be. Then you can start feeling that maybe I changed to another timeline. That is what I am feeling.
I am on YouTube right now, and I found it. It's the Time Travel Channel. It is called Time Trip, and there is four videos of it. And it's the topic in this episode, in this part, is exceeding the speed of light, the strangeness of the universe, where are all the time travel tourists from the future, those who claim they have already time traveled, who are they, traveling backwards in time, and the brilliant Kirk Girdle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a lot that you speak about, or, you know, there's a lot of pictures and interviews and evidence and stuff on it. I think it's interesting. So for everybody wanting to see that time travel channel, time trip, or just click in time trip, you will get several options. But time travel channel is one. Time travel experiment is another that has it on there.
Yeah.
And there is the BBC, if you type in BBC documentary Time Machine, that's there as well.
Okay, good. All right. And the there's a lot on this out there, and there are some of them are more elaborate than what I did, but there is stories and there is evidence of people having made trips. There's one young man that he was sitting in his bedroom at home. He's going to college, and suddenly he just disappeared out of the house, and a few hours later he called home and he says, you're not going to believe this, but I'm in Australia. And the parents laughed at him and hung up, you know. So he called back, and he said, no, I got a problem. He says, I was playing, there's a time device that Stephen Gibbs in Kansas made, same one that I had. And he says, it worked. I'm here. I wanted to visit a friend down there, he said, and by golly, here I am. And they actually, 2 days later, before they believed him, they thought, you know, he left and just made fun of them. But they ended up sending money down there and bought a ticket for him to come back home. So there's absolute evidence that he did that trip in less than, you know, a split moment.
But Agret, this is really amazing, because this is going to put airlines out of business. And they don't want that to happen, do they?
No, not really.
So this device you speak about, how do people actually get that device? Do they create it themselves? Or
Stephen Gibbs in Nebraska, if you want to have a look at it, I think there's something on my website about Stephen Gibbs. And that's the machine that I have, and that's the one I've been playing with. And he's got a lot of stories from people that had made this thing work. So I talked about it on the Art Bell Show about 20 years ago, and there's many of these things that are out there. There's a guy in Florida that makes one also. So there is some things going around. And in fact, I write about this in my book. Maybe I should mention that. If you get on the internet, you can go to my website and you can have a look at the book. You see all the things that I write about in there. It is probably what I would say is a book like nothing else. I'm covering pretty much everything that is outside of the box, including time travel and the total power of the mind and things like that. It is www.spiritual-sciences.net. That's the spiritual-sciences.net. And you can look at the book there. And if you get it, it's the electronic version is very reasonable. Otherwise, it's about $25. And I'll tell you, this is one book that if you read it and start doing some of the things that I talk about in there, you can create miracles out of absolutely nothing, and your life will never be the same. Because I'm teaching you how to use your mind and how to structure it and how to create the future. And there are procedures that I tell you how to do in there, of which some of it I mentioned tonight.
Yes.
You can do things that you otherwise would have no dream of but you'd be able to do.
And that is very interesting. And I think a lot of people would like to do that. The device you just spoke about, HDR... hyper-dimensional resonator.
Yes, that's the one.
Stephen Gibbs, this double B, Stephen Gibbs.
Yeah,
and indeed
correct.
On YouTube, and it seems he is selling the device somehow, but that was a very old post, so I don't know what's happening at the moment with that, other than that, I mean, if you can create it, anybody else can try to do that as well. I think it's very fascinating. I would like to have that little box.
Yeah.
I could just go anywhere I please, and that sounds very exciting to me. Not needing to go to an airport, not needing to go through all the hassle, not needing to fly, not needing to spend a lot of money. You just use that and what you have in your mind and in your energy to get to a place.
But there's some pitfalls with it, and I really should mention this since we brought up these machines, and somebody might be getting those machines. I want to bring up some of these pitfalls.
Mm-hmm.
There is another story of a guy that he bought the hyper, you know, the resonator, and he sitting up in the bedroom, and his wife was downstairs cooking dinner in the evening, and he didn't come down, so... She went up there to get him, and there was the time travel machine sitting in the middle of the bed, book next to it, and the guy was gone. He never showed up anywhere since.
Oh, dear.
So he disappeared. And the problem is that he might have gone somewhere in the past where he's not able to come back from. So you got to be a little careful, because you want to make sure that you know what you're doing. There are some guidelines in there that if you follow them, you should be all right. But the thing is that you are operating on the basis of a mind-matter interface, and that is the electronic device and your own mind. So if your mind is scattered, you think about other things, or in the middle of what you're doing, you're suddenly thinking about a dinosaur or something like that,
who
knows where you'll show up.
Yes, a dinosaur is not a good thing to think about when you play with that thing. You might end up with dinosaurs. And don't think about the North Pole, because you'll be there in the freezing cold. Don't think about anything that is not, you know, habitable. You don't want to end up anywhere where you are in danger or cannot survive or whatever.
Yeah.
Find something nice. Please.
That's why it's so important to control your mind, because your trip is going to follow your mind. Wherever the mind goes, you're going to go.
Oh, by the way, when you use that device, like the boy did who ended up in Australia and stuff like that, does the device travel with you, yes or no?
Well, I have some experiences with it, but the thing about these things are, especially when it goes into the future, it's very tricky, because you can create and give it energy in the future. The only thing I can say about the future so far, this particular timeline, that's got some really nasty stuff in it, not too far ahead, but it don't last long. So let's worry about something else. Let's not give it energy. And if we are going to think about something for the future, let's try to change the timeline to something that is more pleasant, where we can actually have some benefits all the time, and be able to help others and raise mankind up to a higher level of consciousness and possibly change the present status quo.
Yes, that would be nice.
Yeah.
And first I want to change my status quo. I want to have places to stay when I'm going to Germany and when I'm going to Madrid. And I want the kind of contract that I want to have for the pay that I want to have, and not what they're wanting to suggest me.
And in order to do that, you got to do your part of it. Remember, God give you the nut, but he won't crack it. So you got to do all your part of it. And that means you write the contract. Write the contract so it's ready for them when you walk in the door and says, well, when they say, let's do this, then you hand them the contract and see if they can accept it.
Yes.
Write it on your terms.
Yes, if they want me hard enough, they will.
Yeah.
So basically, Ave, we are now almost at the end of the show. We've got like 2.5 minutes left. It went really fast, as usual. Any last intelligent, smart, special remarks, and where to find you as well?
Yes, there is something that I would say. You are on a journey. You didn't come down to this ball of mud called Earth just to get up in the morning, have breakfast, go to work, have lunch, come on back in the afternoon, and then sit and fall on the couch and practice dead for the rest of the night, and then get up the next day and do the same thing again. No, you didn't come here for that. You came here to learn and grow. And I didn't mean grow physically. We have enough of that. We need to think of growing spiritually, because that's why we came here, for learning experiences. So control your mind, lead it in the direction that you want to go, and stay away from people that prevents you or hinders you from doing that. Control your environment, even if it involves flushing some of your negative friends or family. Don't let them get in the way. You control your own path. Stay on it. Create your future before you get there, so you know what you're going to have when you get there. And there's much less chance of surprises that way. You can actually create a very good existence for yourself.
Absolutely.
Stay in control. And that don't mean that you are going to obstruct the universe for creating good things in it. You look at the end product only. You could care less how it happens up to the end product, because the universe will take care of the details as long as you have created the concept.
I agree. Ara, we have 20 seconds left. I'm going to wrap up the show. So thank you very much for being our guest, and we're going to see you back in the future, I'm very sure. Thanks to Rhonda Harrison for doing the back office and starting up the show. Her website is hummingbirdhealingoils.com. If you want to reach us the next week, the next show,